Today is the 13th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is wonderful to gather together with you today as we come together around the global campfire like we do every day and find our place and just understand that we're here and we are here together. And that's not like just a metaphor. There's never, we're not alone. Like at whatever point we're listening, somebody else is too. And so it is wonderful that we can come together around the global campfire and take the next step forward and move forward together, one step at a time. And our next step in the Old Testament leads us back into the book of 1 Chronicles. We've been working our way through the genealogies, and we've pretty well come out of the genealogical portion of Chronicles and are more in the narrative portion. And then yesterday we began Paul's letter to the Romans, and we talked about that. And so we'll be taking the next step forward in Romans as well, which is a wonderful season that we get to move through each year as we listen to Paul explain to us how it is that he arrived, his understanding of the gospel, how it is that he migrated from devout Pharisee persecuting the way of Jesus to becoming a persecuted advocate of the Lord Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel. So excited to take that next step. And let's go ahead and do that. 1 Chronicles, chapter 15, verse 1 through 16, verse 36 today. After he had built houses for himself in David's city, David prepared a place for God's chest and pitched a tent for it. David said, "Only the Levites may carry God's chest, because the Lord has chosen them to carry the Lord's chest and to minister to him forever." David assembled all Israel in Jerusalem to bring the Lord's chest to the place he had prepared for it. David also gathered Aaron's family and the Levites. Uriel, the leader of Kohath's family and 120 of his relatives, Asaiah, the leader of Merari's family and 220 of his relatives, Joel, the leader of Gershom's family and 130 of his relatives, Shemaiah, the leader of Elzaphan's family and 200 of his relatives, Eliel, the leader of Hebron's family and 80 of his relatives, and Aminadab, the leader of Uzziel's family and 112 of his relatives. David called for the priests Zadok and Abiathar, and the Levites Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab. He said to them, "You are the household heads of the Levites. Make yourselves holy, you and your brothers, and then bring the chest of the Lord, Israel's God, to the place I've prepared for it. When you weren't with us the first time, the Lord our God burst out against us because we didn't ask his advice properly." So the priests and the Levites made themselves holy to bring up the chest of the Lord, Israel's God. The Levites carried God's chest with poles on their shoulders, just as Moses had commanded according to the Lord's word. Then David told the leaders of the Levites to appoint some of their relatives as singers to raise their voices joyfully, accompanied by musical instruments, including harps, lyres, and cymbals. So the Levites appointed Heman, Joel's son, and from his relatives, Asaph, Berechiah's son, and from their Merarite relatives, Ethan, Hushiah's son, and second in rank with them their relatives, Zechariah, Jaaziel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Uni, Eliab, Benaiah, Maaseiah, Mattathiah, Eliphelu, Micneah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael, the gatekeepers. The singers, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan were to make music with bronze cymbals. Zechariah, Aziel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Uni, Eliab, Maaseiah, and Benaiah were to play harps tuned to the Elamot. Mattathiah, Eliphelu, Micneah, Obed-Edom, Jael, and Azaziah were to lead with lyres tuned to the Sheminith. Kenaanah was leader of the Levites who provided transportation, because he was skilled at it. Berechiah and Elkanah were gatekeepers for the chest. The priests, Shebaniah, Joshaphat, Nathanael, Amasai, Zechariah, Benaiah, and Eleazar were to blow the trumpets before God's chest. Obed-Edom and Jehiah also were to be gatekeepers for the chest. Then David, along with Israel's elders and the captains of the thousands, went with rejoicing to bring up the chest containing the Lord's covenant from Obed-Edom's house. Since God had helped the Levites who were carrying the chest containing the Lord's covenant, they sacrificed 7 bulls and 7 rams. David wore a fine linen robe, as did the singers, all the Levites who were carrying the chest, and Kenaanah, the leader of transportation. David also wore a linen priestly vest. So all Israel brought up the chest containing the Lord's covenant with shouts of joy accompanied by the blast of the ram's horn, by trumpets and cymbals, and playing on harps and lyres. As the chest containing the Lord's covenant entered David's city, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked out the window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing, she lost all respect for him. They brought in God's chest and placed it inside the tent David had pitched for it. Then they brought entirely burned offerings and well-being sacrifices before God. When David had finished offering the entirely burned offerings and the well-being sacrifices, he blessed the people in the Lord's name and distributed a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a raisin cake to every Israelite man and woman. David appointed some of the Levites to serve before the Lord's chest in order to remember, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord, Israel's God. Asaph was the leader, and Zechariah his assistant. Also Jael, Shemiramot, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, and Jael with harps and lyres. Asaph sounding the cymbals, and the priests Benaiah and Jahaziel blowing trumpets regularly before the chest containing God's covenant. On the same day, for the first time, David ordered Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make his deeds known to all the people. Sing to God. Sing praises to him. Dwell on all his wondrous works. Give praise to God's holy name. Let the hearts of all those seeking the Lord rejoice. Pursue the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wondrous works he has done, all his marvelous works, and the justice he declared. You who are the offspring of Israel, his servant, and the children of Jacob, his chosen ones. The Lord, he is our God. His justice is everywhere throughout the whole world. God remembers his covenant forever. The word he commanded to 1,000 generations, which he made with Abraham, the solemn pledge he swore to Isaac. God set it up as a binding law for Jacob, as an eternal covenant for Israel, promising, I hereby give you the land of Canaan as your allotted inheritance. When they were few in number, insignificant, just immigrants, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to the next, God didn't let anyone oppress them. God punished kings for their sake. Don't touch my anointed ones. Don't harm my prophets. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Share the news of his saving work every single day. Declare God's glory among the nations. Declare his wondrous works among all people, because the Lord is great and so worthy of praise. He is awesome beyond all other gods, because all of the gods of the nations are just idols. But it is the Lord who created heaven. Greatness and grandeur are in front of him. Strength and joy are in his place. Give to the Lord, all families of the nations. Give to the Lord glory and power. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring gifts. Enter his presence. Bow down to the Lord in his holy splendor. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, he set the world firmly in place. It won't be shaken. Let heaven celebrate. Let the earth rejoice. Let the nations say, "The Lord rules." Let the sea and everything in it roar. Let the countryside and everything in it celebrate. Then the trees of the forest will shout out joyfully before the Lord, because he is coming to establish justice on earth. Give thanks to the Lord, because he is good, because his faithful love endures forever. Say, "Save us, God our Savior. Gather us, deliver us from among the nations, so we can give thanks to your holy name and rejoice in your praise." Bless the Lord, Israel's God, from forever in the past to forever always. And let all the people say, "Amen." Praise the Lord. Romans 1:18 through 32. God's wrath is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodly behavior and the injustice of human beings who silence the truth with injustice. This is because what is known about God should be plain to them, because God made it plain to them. Ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, God's eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, because they are understood through the things God has made. So humans are without excuse. Although they knew God, they didn't honor God as God or thank him. Instead, their reasoning became pointless, and their foolish hearts were darkened. While they were claiming to be wise, they made fools of themselves. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images that look like mortal humans, birds, animals, and reptiles. So God abandoned them to their heart's desires, which led to the moral corruption of degrading their own bodies with each other. They traded God's truth for a lie, and they worshipped and served the creation instead of the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's why God abandoned them to degrading lust. Their females traded natural sexual relations for unnatural sexual relations. Also, in the same way, the males traded natural sexual relations with females and burned with lust for each other. Males performed shameful actions with males, and they were paid back with the penalty they deserved for their mistake in their own bodies. Since they didn't think it was worthwhile to acknowledge God, God abandoned them to a defective mind to do inappropriate things. So they were filled with all injustice, wicked behavior, greed, and evil behavior. They are full of jealousy, murder, fighting, deception, and malice. They are gossips. They slander people, and they hate God. They are rude and proud, and they brag. They invent ways to be evil, and they are disobedient to their parents. They are without understanding, disloyal, without affection, and without mercy. Though they know God's decision that those who persist in such practices deserve death, they not only keep doing these things, but also approve others who practice them. Psalm 10 1 through 15. Why do you stand so far away, Lord, hiding yourself in troubling times? Meanwhile, the wicked are proudly in hot pursuit of those who suffer. Let them get caught in the very same schemes they've thought up. The wicked brag about their body's cravings. The greedy reject the Lord, cursing. At the peak of their wrath, the wicked don't seek God. There's no God. That's what they are always thinking. Their ways are always twisted. Your rules are too lofty for them. They snort at all their foes. They think to themselves, "We'll never stumble. We'll never encounter any resistance." Their mouths are filled with curses, dishonesty, violence. Under their tongues lie troublemaking and wrongdoing. They wait in a place perfect for ambush. From their hiding places, they kill innocent people. Their eyes spot those who are helpless. They lie in ambush in secret places, like a lion in its lair. They lie in ambush so they can seize those who suffer. They seize the poor, all right, dragging them off in their nets. Their helpless victims are crushed. They collapse, falling prey to the strength of the wicked. The wicked think to themselves, "God has forgotten. God has hidden his face. God never sees anything." Get up, Lord. Get your fist ready, God. Don't forget the ones who suffer. Why do the wicked reject God? Why do they think to themselves that you won't find out? But you do see. You do see troublemaking and grief, and you do something about it. The helpless leave it all to you. You are the orphan's helper. Break the arms of those who are wicked and evil. Seek out their wickedness until there's no more to find. Proverbs 19, 6 and 7. Many seek favor from rulers. Everyone befriends a gift giver. All the relatives of the poor hate them. Even more, their friends stay far from them. When they pursue them with words, they aren't there. Okay, so yesterday we began Paul's letter to the Romans, and we kind of did a flyby, a little flyover, just to orient ourselves into what we were moving into, and then we started reading. And it became really clear, even in Paul's introduction, where we're going. Paul was saying that the good news tells us how God makes us right or righteous in his sight. And according to Paul, this is accomplished by faith. So that is and will be the crux of many of Paul's arguments. Like he will, that is the flag that he's planting in the sand. Today, Paul is beginning, because this is a bit of a lengthy letter, so we'll be spending some time as we go through it. We just have to remember that we're reading a letter and not a theological textbook. So Paul begins to lay things out today by telling us, reading this letter, that God has made himself obvious to everyone. There isn't an excuse for not acknowledging God. And it's not God's fault that we're confused about him. And it's not God's fault that humanity has suffered greatly because we refuse to acknowledge him. It's just that when we were reading through the book of Genesis, we reached the third chapter of Genesis and we saw an exchange happen. God was exchanged for the knowledge of good and evil. And so through the knowledge of good and evil, we've been trying to figure everything out, which has created an enormous amount of distortions about God throughout the human story, because we cannot contain God in our minds. In our knowledge only. Paul puts it like this, and I quote, although they knew God, they didn't honor God as God or thank Him. Instead, their reasoning became pointless and their foolish hearts were darkened. And then he says, they traded God's truth for a lie, and they worshipped and served the creation instead of the Creator, which simply left humanity to create gods for itself, or to make gods of themselves, which ultimately created corruptions that human beings were never intended to experience. Paul says it like this: since they didn't think it was worthwhile to acknowledge God, God abandoned them to a defective mind to do inappropriate things. So they were filled with all injustice, wicked behavior, greed, and evil behavior. They are full of jealousy, murder, fighting, deception, and malice. They are gossips. They slander people and they hate God. They are rude and proud and they brag. They invent ways to be evil and they are disobedient to their parents. They are without understanding, disloyal, without affection, and without mercy. So what Paul's laying out here is a bleak picture of life on earth after the rebellion that we talked about in Genesis 3. And it's still an accurate picture of life on earth. And what Paul's doing in this portion of the letter is simply painting a picture of how things are so that we can begin to get a glimpse of how things ought to be, and so that we can begin to understand that there is a way. And we will certainly be getting to that in the days ahead. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your word. And we thank you that we have this document that we can hold in our hands tangibly that spans thousands of years and introduces us to the human heart, our heart. And it introduces us to you and your presence in our lives to restore our hearts. And so we are grateful, and as we continue in the days ahead through the letter to the Romans, Holy Spirit, come. May we see things that maybe we've never seen before, or understand things in a way that we hadn't before, quickening or awakening things in us that change us irreversibly. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base. It's the website. It's where you find out what's going on around here. And so check it out. You can use the Daily Audio Bible app for that as well, which can be downloaded free from the app store of your device. So check that out. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources in the shop that are for the journey that we are on, whether that be like Promised Land, photographs from the land of the Bible, all the way to the brand new limited edition snapback hats, the navy and white ones that we have for a limited time. All that can be found and much, much more in the Daily Audio Bible shop, so check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone who will listen anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, and to build community around that rhythm of showing up for each other so that no one has to be alone, if that is life-giving to you, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or there are a number of numbers you can dial depending on where you are. In the Americas, 877-634-3337. In the UK or Europe, 44-2033-184217. And in Australia, 612-6108-4605. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Thank you, God, for giving me everything that I asked. You freed me from my demons and my true self, now unmasked. Time is running short now. As they say, this too shall pass. I praise and thank you constantly. There's not much that I ask. The relationship I have with you, I pray will always last. Last is first and first is last. A simple little verse. Some men go from good to bad, some from bad to worse. Help me just be patient, God, and follow where you lead. Help me not be selfish and consumed with lust and greed. Wherever two are gathered, I know that you'll be there. Keep my mind's eye simple, God, and strip my ego bare. Make me over in your image, God. I'm flesh, but still I'm clay. Fill me with your spirit, God, and renew my strength each day. One and one are usually two, but you and I are one. Finish, God, the work in me you clearly have begun. BlindTony1016@gmail.com.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. It's Soaring on Eagle's Wings from Canada. You know, when I was growing up as a little girl in my culture, men were supposed to be strong. They don't cry. They don't show their emotions. Thank God that's changing now. And when I listen to all the men coming on the DAB praying or asking for prayer, it just stirs my heart. And so today I choose to pray for those who are going through marriage difficulties, whether they want a separation or the wife wants a separation. I don't know, but God sees everyone. And DAB men who are struggling with all of this, God sees your heart. He knows everything that concerns you. He created marriages, and it was his intent that a wife and husband should be together until death part them. But you know, when this world fell and we're into sin, all sorts of things happen. But Abba, you see their heart. You see the emotions, you see the pain. I pray for them, Lord. I pray that they would be guided to knowing what they should do and what they shouldn't. And I pray for the wives, Lord. Oh God, you're able to do abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. And I pray for relationships to be mended and marriages come back together again, in the mighty name of our Savior. Renzo, I haven't heard you for a while. I've been missing you. I pray the Lord continues to guide you into the right path for you.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Saved by Grace in California. I just want to lift my sister up who called in for prayer, who's having financial problems with taxes, and husband who also is having some health challenges. And her faith is truly being tested. And I just thank God for you, sister, for your sharing that and your wanting, reaching out. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I lift my sister up to you and her situation and her circumstance, Father God. I thank you, God, that we can continue to look to you, Father God, and keep our focus on you, because you said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all things. You'll add all these things. You'll take care of everything. I pray for my sister, Lord, that you would increase and help her strengthen, solidify her trust and faith in you, God. I pray, Father, that you show her little glimpses of you in these circumstances, that she is not alone, that you have not leaving her and that you have not forsaken her, oh God. I pray, Father God, that you give her favor in the eyes of the IRS and her job, Father, that they would not garnish her checks, Father, and she would be able to provide for her husband and herself financially, as you have always done in the past. Remind her that you are that same God that got her through all those difficulties and circumstances, and you are the same God that will deliver her on today.
Hey, Dabbers, this is Slave of Jesus in North Carolina. All right, Holy Spirit, let's roll. Amen to prayers for Writers for Christ. I love how you said you got an answer to your prayer. So you've been praying for, I guess, a smaller commute. I think I missed the first one or just can't think of it at the moment. But this was your second time calling. But your answer to the prayer was wait. What great insight. What great wisdom. Like, we think if we don't get what we want from God, that he's not answering our prayers, or even that it's no. That's not necessarily true. And so thank you for pointing that out to everyone. Sometimes wait is some of the best. I've debated this job I'm at. I commute 45 minutes each morning. You know, I'm getting old. I've kind of got some weird signs that I'm towards the end of my my life, and that, you know, that can make me want to go like, okay, well, let's focus on family and focus on important things. But I know God's given me so many signs that this job is where I'm supposed to be. But my drive into work is my God time. That's when I listen to DAB. That's when I listen to little Ezekiel on the way in. That's when I call a guy and pray on the way in every single day. And if I didn't have this job and this commute, even if I was home, you'd think I'd have more time for God, but I think I would spend less time with God. So it's just weird that the commute is actually helping me. And as long as I keep hearing that message, you know, I haven't thought of it as a wait. Every time I think about God, should I just quit and you know, do something more godly, do something more for you? It's just been a blessing to actually have this time away, as it sounds, from my family, but it's God time that's kind of made for me, and I don't have to try to force it. It's drive time. So, thanks for calling us and reminding us. Sometimes God answers our prayers with a wait. Love you all. Have a great day.